turn backward, old time in your flight. Give me a saddle horse just for tonight. A saddle and bridle, chaps and a court, gauze and silk hanky, and an old buckskin shirt. Once in the saddle, I'm headed for those grass-covered hills where the Ghost River flows. When I started to farm, my friends declared, Pete, you're bound to get rich if you stick to the wheat. You can see for yourself when the riding is done. The farm is the place where the dollars are won. Many years I have farmed, and now at life's close, let me ride in the hills where the Ghost River flows. Ride through the frost with the stars shining bright. Ride till the rising sun chases the night. Blazes with plows and a harvesting flax, your 90-cent oats and your 20-cent sacks. Herd laws in Texas, I knew not those woes. Back in the hills where the Ghost River. There's a spot on the Ghost that I love beyond all. Just bury me there with my face to the west. Mark there the spot, here's a cowboy at rest. Where the sun always shines, the soft Chinook blows. Back in the hills where Ghost River flows.
That was Where the Ghost River Flows by Sarah Jane Scouten, a Canadian Folk Music Award and Western Canadian Music Award nominated musician with the Light Organ Records label. I spoke with Sarah over Skype. Sarah, thank you so much for joining me for IndieBeat.
Thanks for having me.
Tell me a little bit about your early musical history. Did you grow up in a really musical family?
Yeah, my dad was the first musical person in our family. I don't know what happened, some kind of mutation. I think he went to the Winnipeg Folk Festival for the first time and got hooked on bluegrass music. So that was something that was really really present in our lives growing up. You know, we grew up on an island, on Bowen Island, so it was we didn't have television, we didn't have a lot of the trappings that city kids had, so we ended up playing a lot of music with our dad and with one another, so that was kind of cool.
Can you think of one particular album that was really life-changing for you from the very first time you heard it?
I can't remember anything. Ooh, I mean, I can as an adult, certainly, but, so as an adult, I'd probably say, this record called My Life by Iris DeMent, really, really impacted me super strongly. But otherwise, all of the Stan Rogers records were on heavy rotation in my house, as well as Willie P. Bennett. So those kind of just like kind of floated around in my imagination ever since I was little. You know, I've been listening to those songs since before I actually had memories. So I don't remember hearing them for the first time, but they've had a huge impact.
I've read that you have quite a collection of stringed instruments. Is there one in particular that is your favorite?
I don't have a huge collection. I've got a small, modest collection because I live in a pretty small apartment. I have three guitars, a fiddle, and an Appalachian dulcimer. And my most special instrument, I hope the rest of them aren't listening, but it's, they know. It's my Martin Singlo 18. It's from 1951, and it's really, really special, and I take it everywhere, and it has this way of just charming everyone who plays it, including me. So when I first played it, I knew I had to have it, and it took me 3 years to convince the woman who owned it to sell it to me, but I finally did. Yeah.
You released your debut album in 2011 and your third full-length record, When the Bloom Falls, from the Rose last year.
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel your sounds evolved with your more recent music?
I mean, it's gotten louder and more complex. I started off as kind of a straight up and down like bluegrass kid or string band kid, and I loved that. Like, the first record is sort of chamber folky, and that's exactly what it is. It's a quartet recorded live off the floor in a church. Now we have the resources and also just kind of the experience to be making, I call them grown-up records. I mean, not to say that like a stripped down recording isn't mature, but yeah, in the moment I'm in the business of making big girl records, and they sound like a bigger production because they are. And it's really, really fun.
You have a great video on YouTube for the title track, When the Bloom Falls from the Rose. What can you tell me about that one?
Oh, that's such a weird video. Oh, it's so funny. So my friend Trent Freeman, who is a fiddler in the band The Fretless, is also a really talented videographer. And we kind of just like gave him full rein on it. And I think that he really got excited about this contraption that he created. Essentially, he ordered like 700 black ping pong balls and strung them up on these strings, these see-through strings, and like created this like mechanical thing so that, and then the strings were kind of like strung through a bicycle wheel. It was really, really fascinating. And it was very kind of, I mean, it was complex, but it was basic. You know, there was no electronics whatsoever. And he created this like sort of oscillating effect with these strings of balls, and it's supposed to reflect, as far as I understand, it's supposed to reflect like waveforms of sound. And I think after that, all of our creative juices were kind of like spent. And then we were like, what else should we do? I don't know. Let's just wear a bunch of weird costumes from the Capilano Theater, like the costume design company, department at the Capilano University. They lent me a bunch of costumes. So that's what it is. It's, some weird artists horsing around.